Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. On January 2nd, we started traveling through the book, Two Chairs, by Bob Bodine. The podcast of the previous calls are available at haroldherring.com. for free. Now, we've been so blessed by the testimonies from folks who've read this book and those who've listened to the call, some even without reading the book yet. It's been a real blessing. Today, we're going to cover Chapter 5, which discusses Step 3, See the Field. In other words, we're going to discuss looking at the insight as well as the sights with our eyes. In this chapter, Bob recounts a trip to Maui that he and his wife Cheryl took on their 25th wedding anniversary. With great humor.
Truly.
They talk about driving the road to Hana, H-A-N-A, which encircles in part this Hawaiian island. Bob said that everybody loves to trip unless they're the one driving the rental car. It's 52 miles. Of a nerve-wracking drive with 617 hairpin turns and 56 narrow one-lane bridges. Along the way to Heavenly Hana, you'll see fields of sugarcane, spectacular cliffs, bamboo jungles, incredible waterfalls, and lovely tropical streams. I'm now reading Chapter 2 for the fifth time, and I laugh every time I hear Bob discussing Cheryl's comments along the way.
I know. She'd say, Bob, oh my goodness, this is so beautiful. Bob said that as soon as he slightly turned his head to look, she screamed, no, don't look, you just drive. So 10 or 12 years ago, Harold and I went to, he was doing a meeting in Honolulu. So before the meeting, he and I flew to Maui, splurged on a rental convertible, and took our own drive to Heavenly Hana. Bob's description of that 52-mile trip is totally accurate.
I mean, totally accurate. If you think about it, our lives are a lot like the road to Hana. It's full of hairpin turns, dangerous bridges, and important decisions that must be made sometimes right away. Here are several suggestions for navigating difficult terrain on your journey through life. First, let me say it this way. Pray first.
So true. Hebrews 4:16 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it.
It's a great scripture.
It is.
When we need directions on the right path to follow, and let me say, whether you're on a detour or not, there are three ways to pray: fearlessly, confidently, and boldly. Does that sound like, Lord, if it be thy will kind of prayer? No, it doesn't. We're to reverence the Lord, but fearlessly come before him, because we can be assured of finding his mercy for our failures as well as his grace to sustain us. We can be fearless because we're told to come boldly into his throne room. And yes, you can do it from two chairs.
Amen. Second, we need to learn to laugh at the devil. Most people are initially irritated when confronted with the interruptions of everyday life, while others even let that irritation morph into anger. That kind of response to adversity is guaranteed to make your day less productive. In Proverbs 15:13 in the Message Bible, it says, a cheerful heart brings a smile to your face. A sad heart makes it hard to get through the day. And in Jeremiah 30, verse 18, in the Message Bible, It says thanksgivings will pour out of the windows, laughter will spill through the doors, things will get better and better. Depression days are over.
Hallelujah.
Look, the enemy's purpose is to keep you out of the two chairs and your life out of balance anyway, Ken. He wants your days to be filled with gloom and despair and agony. Sometimes we just have to learn to laugh. Laugh out loud if possible. Just go, boo, devil. You are not, it is not working your, you know, ways on me. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength and my happiness.
Laughter just turns everything around, which is why I love hearing you laugh.
Oh, my goodness. Don't go there yet.
I won't. Third, seek wisdom. Enduring the adversities of life is temporary for those who will pursue the wisdom of God and apply his insights. Proverbs 4:8, the New Living Translation. If you prize wisdom, she'll make you great. Embrace her, and she will honor you. Instead of letting the enemy steal your joy, ask God how you can learn from your particular situation. Then purpose to not let the enemy get any glory. Don't let him get any glory because you honor God. If he can't get you upset, he'll leave you alone and go find somebody else.
That's true.
Dishonor takes upon itself the form of supernaturally produced blessings. Do you know what should come before wisdom and understanding?
Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10 in the Classic Amplified says, "The reverent fear and worship of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and skill. The preceding and the first essential, the prerequisite and the alphabet. A good understanding, wisdom, and meaning have all those who do the will of God. Then praise of him endures. Their praise of him endures forever."
Hallelujah. Fourth, while in the two chairs, ask God to reveal the right friend for your situation. When you're going through trouble, tough times, or whatever you want to call your trial, wouldn't it be much easier if you had a traveling companion, a friend who could help you along the way? Just go to your two chairs and talk to God to see who he wants you to pick. In fact, he probably already has someone in mind for you. As Bob says, God has probably given you a special who friend. You just might not recognize him yet. How will you know this person? Well, here's some keys. Listen to what they say. Listen to how they say it. Does their conversation leave you encouraged? Are they interested in what interests you? Are they willing to listen to and be invested in your goals and dreams? Finally, do they speak in the language of godly love? That's seven keys to help you recognize who's a true friend in your life. Walter Winchell, the famed newspaper writer, once said, "A real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out."
I love that quote by him.
I do too. When you're traveling in a direction other than what you plan, it's good to have friends who are there with you. Henry Ford, the industrialist, once said, "My best friend is the one who brings out the best in me." If you look around, you'll realize
who your who is.
That's exactly right.
Fifth, don't be afraid of the unknown. Don't be afraid of the unknown. God knows it. Only in facing our fears can we really find a solution to our problems. Yes, we can expect to find solutions revealed during our time in the two chairs. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5 in the Contemporary English Version, it said, "After we came to Macedonia, we didn't have any chance to rest. We were faced with all kinds of problems. We were troubled by enemies and troubled by fears." It can happen to anybody and everybody, and is going to. Never let fear of the unknown or untried prevent you from doing what appears to first be impossible, when in reality, it is possible. Luke 1:37 in the Classic Amplified says, "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." You make the impossible possible by never giving up. When Henry Ford decided to produce his famous V8 motor, he chose to build an engine with the entire 8 cylinders cast in one block and instructed his engineers to produce this design for the engine. The design was placed on paper, but the engineers agreed to the man, every one of them, that it was simply impossible to cast an 8-cylinder engine block in one piece. Henry Ford replied, "Produce it anyway," and they eventually did. Never let the fear of the unknown keep you from making the impossible possible when God says it's possible. This is the fastest way out of a detour you may be traveling through.
On page 72, Bob tells how he was with his dad when the doctor told Mr. Bodine he had cancer on the top portion of his right ear. His dad, you might imagine, was stunned. The damage that the son had inflicted on his dad over the years really took its toll. After the surgery, the doctor smiled and told him that the procedure had been very successful. He felt good that all the cancer was gone. Bob knew that his dad was thinking about how he'd look with one ear smaller than the other. Bob's dad asked him, "Am I going to go on business development trips with you in the future with an ear looking like this?" A week later, Bob's dad told him that he was thinking about retiring. Bob said, "No way." The family was sitting at the kitchen table when this conversation went along, and there with the immediate family was Bob's 6-year-old niece, Amanda, who had come for a visit with Bob's parents. Bob's dad said, "Son, listen to me. I look in the mirror, and now all I see is 3/4 of an ear. What can I do?" Then out of the mouths of babes, wisdom shouted something so simple. Amanda, the 6-year-old, who was coloring a picture, looked up and said, "Papa, won't you just grow your hair a little longer on the sides? No one will ever see the difference." Bob's dad rushed to the mirror and decided it was a fabulous solution. Then it took Mr. Bodine 3 or 4 weeks for his hair to grow just where he wanted it to be. And no one ever mentioned or noticed that ear again. You know, if I were Mr. Bodine, I'd have bought Amanda anything that she wanted. Most of our problems are simple in hindsight.
In hindsight.
Yep. But don't worry. Hear this. God is all-knowing, and he owns the future. Let me say that again. God owns the future. So what do we have to worry about? If you're open to God's perspective, get ready for the ride of your life. The road to Hannah is nothing compared to the one God wants to take you on.
Hallelujah.
God's waiting for you in the 2 chairs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if you've been blessed with this teaching, go to haroldherring.com at the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you plant. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. Check out this week's 2-minute video. Check out the podcast if you want to hear some of these programs again. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.